Judy come down with breast cancer. 2 years she's had breast cancer. Come to the point where that now the doctors say, we either amputate both breasts or you're going to die in 6 months. Judy says, then I'm going to die a whole woman. I'm not going to die a partial woman. If God takes me home in 6 months, she's a great Baptist lady. Her husband was a good Baptist man. But she said, if you take both my breasts off and I go through all that pain and suffering, it's only going to add another 6 months to my life and I'm probably going to die anyway. She said, forget it. We ain't going to do it. So anyway, the doctor said, well, if you don't have the surgery, you only have about 1 week left to live. So she comes in and that night tells her husband what the doctor says. And she calls one of her good friends, Sue, that's in my Bible study class over here at the Baptist church in Justin. She's in there every Sunday. I'm just a deacon in the Baptist church. And so she called Sue and said, Sue, I want to say goodbye. It was Thursday. She said, what do you mean? She said, the doctors just told me I got a week left to live. I have breast cancer in the worst way. I've had it 2 years, as you know. I am down to about 80 pounds, you know. And she said, it's over. I'm going to die. Y'all come on in. Praise the Lord. Find you a place. Said, I'm going to die. So I just wanted to call and say goodbye and tell you how much I love you as a friend. This woman was about 50 years old. You know, that's not, to me, that's not a long life. You know that? 50's not long. Now, if you're 17, you know, I was 15 and my dad was 50. You know, I knew the old man was over the hill and didn't know nothing. I knew I at 15 knew everything there was, and he's at 50, he don't know nothing. Until I got a little older, and then I found out dad was a whole lot smarter than I thought he was. You know, that seems the way things go. You know, when you get a little older, all of a sudden your parents are a little smarter than you thought they were. But anyway, Judy said goodbye to Sue, and Sue, as soon as they hung up the phone, Sue called me. Said, Thurman, I sit in your Sunday school class every Sunday. I listen to you talk about these awesome promises and the wonderful thing you see God doing, healing people. And she said, one of my best friends from Corpus Christi called me today and wanted to tell me goodbye. She has less than a week to live. She said, if my husband and I will buy you an airplane ticket to go to Corpus Saturday morning, she said, I know you work. And so she said, if we buy you a ticket, will you go down to Corpus Saturday morning and pray for my friend? I said, sure. Now then, Saturday is the only day that I have off. And to get there, I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to DFW Airport to catch an airplane to fly to Houston and then have a layover down there and then catch another one to fly to Corpus Christi so I can arrive at Corpus Christi at 10:20 in the morning. Now you either got to be crazy or you got to believe your God's going to answer your prayer. You see where I'm coming from? God loves people that are diligent, that believe Him. And so I got there at 10:20. This man I've never seen in my life, when I got off the airplane, he said, I'm looking for Thurman Scrivener. I said, sir, that's me. He said, okay, good. So he said, my wife is Judy, and she's at home with cancer. I said, okay. So we drive to their little apartment. We go upstairs, and this little frail woman, which was 80 pounds, she said, it took me 3 hours this morning to get out of bed and get dressed to put on this suit of clothes because I did not want you to minister to me in bed with my gown on. I said, what a lady. What a lady. I won't say ladies, but I'll say there is some women out there today that has their bottom or their top showing all the time. Y'all know where I'm coming from? But this lady was a lady. She wanted to be dressed. Here's what she's eat up with breast cancer. She's only going to live another week, she thinks. And she spends the first 3 hours getting out of bed to getting a suit of clothes on. And there she sits in a chair. I told her, I said, well, first thing I've learned is we got sin here. And one of the sins is unforgiveness. I said, you know, women, you know, with breast cancer usually have unforgiveness. And then, of course, over the years, I've even isolated it down. Since Cheryl came into ministry with me 7 years ago, she really has a good, sharp mind, and she remembers things about everybody. And whenever we would be going along there for a couple of years, she said, honey, have you noticed that every time a woman has breast cancer, in her left breast. She had an unforgiveness toward a female in her family, like her daughter, mother, sister. I said, I never noticed that. I said, I knew it was unforgiveness. And she said, you know, when they have it in the right breast, it's always just a woman of an acquaintance that they know. And so we started really paying attention. And we come to find out that, now, first of all, how many of you women in here would like to have breast cancer? No takers. Well, praise the Lord. How many women have breast cancer? Lots of them. But we found out that if you have breast cancer and you got unforgiveness toward a female member of your family, it will hit you in the left breast. If you have unforgiveness toward a female that's just an acquaintance, it'll hit you in the right breast. So anyway, we got Judy to repent of all of her sins. And then, after we got all sins repented of, that's only the beginning of this. Now you got to build their faith to the point they can believe God. Now, all this is right here in this James 5:14. I want to show you this. Are any among you sick? See, Judy fit the criteria. She was sick. They should call for the elders of the church. That's what they did. They called me, and of course they called Sue first, and then Sue called me and wanted to know if I'd go down there. When I said yes, of course Sue called them, told them, said, I've made arrangements for this Sunday school teacher of mine that sees all kinds of awesome, wonderful healings. He's going to come down there Saturday morning, and y'all pick him up at the airport, or Don, her husband, said pick him up at the airport, and then he will come and minister to her and pray for her. So I get there at 10:20 in the morning. At about 10:45, we're in their little apartment, and I want you to look at this. Are any among you sick? Obviously, when you read that word for word, God didn't plan for his church to be sick. Are any among you sick? I mean, we shouldn't be, but if any of you are. Now see, I learned this principle, and many of you know this. I learned this principle with the word sozo 30 years ago. I'm 72 years old, going on 73 years old in December this year, and in the last 30 years, I have not been sick. Is that an awesome place to walk? But I've taken sickness out of my vocabulary. All I got to do is walk in obedience to God's word. Now then, does that mean I never have a symptom come up on me? No. Let's say that I get in some kind of I ain't going there with unforgiveness. I'm not even going to say that. But let's say I get angry with somebody. Do you ever get angry with anybody? You really do? I can't believe you're like me. You know how easy it is to get angry? Do you ever get angry? Oh, you're normal too, huh? Oh, all these girls on the front row, they're all coming under conviction just like me. So immediately when we do that, if we're not real careful, some kind of judgment will begin to come upon us. And the more you know about God, the quicker it'll happen. And you wonder why. Just because I got angry with that person, why did I get sick? Well, when you learn what I've learned, there's always a sin before sickness. That's something most of the church has never picked up on. But I'm going to prove it to you today before it's over. But here, this guy here, or girl, whatever, this person is sick. He said they should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith might heal the sick. Oh, is that not what it said? What'd that say, son?
Will.
Oh, so you got to watch these preachers, don't you? Because they may read the word wrong, right? So if it says, and their prayer offered in faith, if your prayer is offered in faith, what's going to happen to that man or woman you prayed for? They're going to be healed. Can God lie to us? No. But well, then what happens? Why in the world don't we use this? If that's a guarantee from God, their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well. And anyone who has committed sins, and of course in the original it says, but you had a sin, your sin there will be forgiven. And then let's see what the next verse says in verse 16. Confess your sins or your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest or effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. Now that's in the Bible. Was that in your Bible, honey? You mean that was in your Bible too? In other words, I hadn't just got something I just wrote up here on the wall. Now, what kind of church are you from? Non-denominational. Do they believe in that?
My pastor does.
Oh, do they ever do that?
He's learning it.
Oh, he's learning. Well, praise God. It took me a long time to learn it too, I'll tell you for sure. So, you know, a long time. But just think, I had this verse. You know how long that verse has been in the James, in the book of James? How long you think that's been in there? 2,000 years. The New Testament's only about 2,000 years old. But it was written when it was written 2,000 years ago, right? So it's been there for every generation for 2,000 years. So that means from the day you and me were born, it was in there, wasn't it? Isn't that something? Now, what kind of a promise is that, young lady?
It's a promise.
It's a God can't lie, can he? And this is what we do. Well, it couldn't be sin. That's causing my problem, so I'm not going to confess my sins. I mean, you know, I'll have to tell you that a young man and his wife brought their young daughter in her mid-20s in here to a Sunday afternoon church here a few months ago. And that Sunday, I happened to be preaching on sexual sins from the Word of God. Well, boy, she didn't like it. When the search was over that day, she got up and told her dad and mom, said, I ain't never going back out there. I hate that guy. Well, why does she hate me? Because she's living in sin. She's living with a boy she's not married to. And when I said that's wrong and that'll bring sickness and disease upon your body, even death to your body, she didn't believe that at all because she's enjoying living in her sin. You know, sex is fun even when you're not married. You just don't realize that when you have sex and not be married, it brings death and sickness and disease to your body and to your children. People don't know that. If they did, some of you wouldn't do it. You know, but some of you would. You know, some of you say, oh, no, that's just a coincidence that happened to so-and-so. That would never happen to me.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, I Can Guarantee God's Word, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.